T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ah, yes, Offsides with Mark Ryan, hour number 2, right here on the show. And my next guest is quickly becoming one of my favorite people. And he's becoming one of my favorite people not because he agrees with me, but because he disagrees with me in the right way. And he has some fun with it. Lonzo, I got to ask you this question, man. Earlier today, or I think it may have been yesterday, Tim Frisbee, who's about to join us, was, you know, he was kind of, in a way, he was defending me to the hateful, to a percentage of the hateful Gamecocks crowd coming my way by saying that, you know, I'm kind of like Ben Mahler. You know, I offend people sometimes, but I'm always willing to bring people on the show that that may or may not agree with me. Would you, do you like that assessment?
I am always offended by you, so I don't entirely get it, but that's fine.
Okay, yes. Fantastic. Tim Frisbee is affectionately known as Pops to Gamecocks fans. He played for the Gamecocks. He walked onto the team as a 40-year-old Gulf War veteran in 2004 and 2005, played for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier, and Tim Frisbee joins us right now on the show. Tim, good afternoon. How are you, man?
My man, Mark, I'm doing great down here. Another hot day in Columbia here, but other than that, we're doing great.
So good to have you on again, Tim. So I figured, Tim, today, between you and I, we'll get to a lot of different stuff. Is that cool with you?
Oh, that's cool.
We'll bounce around here. So, Tim, you appeared, you attained some a level of rock star celebrity status for walking onto the team, and then for all of your service in the Gulf War, and you've been a guest on Letterman and a guest on Jay Leno. So the Late Show with David Letterman and the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Because this is an experience that 99.9% of us will never have. What was that like? What were those experiences like? What is it like behind the stage? Are you having butterflies before you go out there? Can you kind of share with us some observations that you took away from those experiences?
Yeah, I think, you know, but obviously the first show that you do is kind of the most nerve-wracking because you don't know what to expect. But I did Letterman first, so got to New York. But the backstage, Letterman, you don't see until you actually get on the stage. So that's a little nerve-wracking in itself because you don't know what to expect. But behind the scenes, of course, there's other guest stars on the show with you, so you have time to mingle with them. And with Letterman, it was John Travolta and the band. I'm drawing a blank here right now.
It's okay.
Pearl Jam.
Wow, so you were with Travolta in Pearl Jam.
I was with Pearl Jam.
Wow.
So I got to hang out backstage, and I'm sitting in the room, I'm talking with Eddie Vedder, and you know, he's told me he was following my story, and you know, we got to talking, and then he was saying, "I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you." He says, "I'll trade you a guitar for a signed jersey, Gamecock jersey," and of course, I'm looking over at the gentleman that was from the sports, from the athletic department that was with me. And that was kind of a no-go. You know, that's an NCAA violation right there. So I couldn't make that deal. But
oh, you're kidding me. There's Tim, there's no way I am absolutely going to be in fault of – I'm going to be guilty of violating NCAA rules there. A guitar from Eddie Vedder. There's no way I could have passed that up. No way.
Yeah, well, I was thinking hard about it, but I like playing a little more.
Good for you.
On the field than I did the guitar. So
good for you. Hey, just hanging with Eddie Vedder, just a normal day at the office, right? Hanging with Eddie Vedder, rolling with John Travolta, right?
Correct.
Normal day.
That's it. And then when we did Leno, the guests were Ewan McGregor, who was on Star Wars at the time, and the band was Duran Duran. So
what?
A bunch of.
You were on those shows on the best guest days of the entire year, Tim.
Right.
So Ewan McGregor and Duran Duran? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so I'm sitting backstage, and the gentleman from Duran Duran, he says, you probably don't know who I am, but I'm such and such. And I said, yeah, I kind of know who you are. So, it's exciting times.
Wow, that's incredible. Do you remember anything Dave Letterman asked you? Did you know what he was going to ask you ahead of time or no?
I had no idea what he was going to ask me. I know he had asked me about my my transcripts and stuff as the NCAA was going through them to get my eligibility in line. And I said, obviously it was hard for them to find because they were on stone tablets because it was so long ago.
I love it. Love it, man. Love it. So, you know, just a normal day. Duran Duran, Pearl Jam, John Travolta, Ewan McGregor. You know, I mean, no big deal, right?
Right, exactly. So it got to be that point, yes.
Did you look back at those experiences, Tim, and find them as enjoyable? Were they life highlights for you?
Yeah, they were because you never expect to be in a situation like that and be on shows that were with that much notoriety. And I just went into it as trying to present the university in the best light that I could when I went on those shows, and always gave, obviously, props to my teammates and coaches.
Hey, we told you we're going to bounce around from different topics today to you guys listening here in the upstate. South Carolina great Tim Frisby joining us here on the show. We happen to agree on a baseball take, Tim. We haven't agreed on much, but we have agreed on a baseball take. Keith Law, this baseball guy for Sports Illustrated that has 500,000 followers, really kind of, you've seen my Twitter get blown up here recently. The same thing happened in March because I said the exact same thing that you did. And the baseball nerds, Tim, and what I said was, Mike Trout, one player isn't worth what the Angels are playing Mike Trout in baseball. He might be the best player in the game, but I'm pretty sure they could be in second to last or last place without him. What exactly is he doing for them in the one loss column? Everybody jumped all over me. You don't understand baseball. They're giving me analytics. And where are we again this year with the Angels, Tim?
Yeah, exactly. And I understand, you know, obviously baseball's more of a team sport than any, and of course any profession where you can only be successful 30% out of the time and you're considered great, that adds problems to it. But he's a great player, but MVP, most valuable player, seems that you would add some type of value to your team and to their record. And I don't see it. Although, again, I believe he's a great, great player.
He's a phenomenal player, but their owner hasn't gone above $200 million in payroll once. And if he's going to pay one player that much, and those are his financial restrictions, good luck winning with that team.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen.
Exactly.
So Tim Frisby joining us here on the show. Tim, do Clemson's accomplishments reveal what's possible for South Carolina, or do the Tigers, in your opinion, have advantages that will never be present in Columbia?
Well, it does set kind of a blueprint of what can be done, because obviously during that 5-game win streak, Clemson said to herself, there's something we need to do to turn this around. And they were able to put that plan in action and actually do it. So from that standpoint, as far as putting a plan in action to better recruit, to turn the program around, to improve facilities and such, that's a blueprint that can be followed. Now, as far as the advantage they do have, and, you know, obviously you get killed from ACC fans, but it is playing in the ACC. I mean, SEC fans will tell you, that's their perspective, that they have that distinct advantage of being able to offer wins to their recruits, that most likely they're going to, as long as they stay able to recruit at this level, be able to run the table in the ACC, where you just can't say that from year to year in the SEC.
No, you can't. You can't say that year after year. And, you know, many people, South Carolina fans, would say to Clemson, you're not going to be undefeated in our conference. But to be real with you, Tim, I didn't know it was possible in today's day and age for Clemson to win a national championship. I didn't know South Carolina was a fertile enough recruiting ground to win a national championship in today's day and age. And what Clemson's done is they're owning the fort locally, they're owning the fort regionally, and they're beginning to own the fort nationally as well. The Clemson is the it school that can go into any program, any home in the country and land a recruit. That's what they're able to do right now. So
yeah.
It's just, I'm so curious, like, because I didn't think it was possible what they're doing. Could South Carolina do that with the right guy in charge? Could that happen?
Again, they could, but they're going to have to expand their net to exactly what Clemson's doing, because it's kind of like, reminds me of the old days with the Nebraskas of the world, where they didn't have a big footprint as far as recruiting in the Midwest there in the Nebraska area, but they were able to go out nationally because of television at the time and bring in guys from Miami and all these other places to come in nationally, and the same way with Tennessee, and kind of fit what they were doing. And that they were successful doing that. And then obviously as TV revenue became more of a thing, and other teams got involved, and Nebraska kind of fell off because they weren't able to cast that wide of a net anymore. But it's amazing that Clemson's able to do that in this market and still be successful doing that. But again, it sets a blueprint of what can be done, and obviously what South Carolina can do.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. My Gamecocks prediction, Tim, 8-4. Most difficult schedule in the country. They have 5 brutal games: Clemson, Alabama, Texas A&M, Florida, and Georgia. I think they win the rest of the games on their schedule. I think they win 1 out of those 5 brutal slate of games. Unfortunately, I think for me, the most likely win would come against Florida. And I think they shock the world. I think they go 8-4, and I think they finish in the top 15 in the country. Now, don't tell that, Tim, to all the Gamecocks fans that want to throw sharp, pointy objects at me, because they don't want to hear any of that. No, I said something about fan day. But I actually think the Gamecocks are in great position to have a surprising year this year.
Well, they can be. And like you said, they're going to have to win all the games that they're supposed to. They're going to have to win, like you said, you're saying 1, but they're going to have to win probably two of those 5 games that they're probably going to be underdogs in. And that's going to be the telltale for the season. Win the games you're supposed to, and have a few upsets in these toss-up games that, they're not even toss-ups. Some of them, they're going to be heavy underdogs. Others, they may be more of a toss-up. You're talking about Kentucky, Missouri, and such. But again, they're going to have to win a couple of those key games right there to have a successful season in the fans' minds.
South Carolina great, Gulf War veteran Tim Frisby walked on to South Carolina at the age of 40 and fulfilled his eligibility, playing 1 year for Lou Holtz and 1 for Steve Spurrier in Columbia, South Carolina. We roll on here. Tim. So the other day, I fell into another inferno among South Carolina Gamecock fans. And I want to be very clear when I say this, because what I've found, Tim, hosting this show, is that the active participants in our show are fantastic. Those people who regularly, they'll debate me, they'll have fun, Tim, just like you and I are having fun, and we'll go back and forth, and it's fun. The ugly people have been largely people who don't live anywhere close to this area and just want to hurl insults online, but this is what set people off. I was at Clemson's Fan Day on Sunday. A media member came up to me and said the following: at South Carolina, they do Fan Day for 1 hour, and they give you a small poster. Here at Clemson, they go for a full 2.5 hours in the heat of day and are handing out thousands of autographed books. They're national champs. They don't have to do this, but they do. Tim, for the life of me, I can't understand why I was the object of disdain for so many thousands of South Carolina fans after I tweeted that. Can you help me understand that, please?
Well, obviously, South Carolina fans are some of the best in the world. But, they're very protective of their team. And obviously, they're just seeing little tidbits of things out there, especially in the Twitter world. There's only so many characters, so you can't really explain yourself fully. But I just think...
So wait a minute, Tim. If you can't explain yourself fully, why judge somebody fully?
Well, that's the nature of the world and what we're in nowadays. They're little sound bites, and if you don't listen to both sides and you only want to listen to stuff you're being fed, then you get this jaded kind of view or this one-sided view of the world, and you know, that's the little bubble you live in. So it's, you know, you need more things like this to hear both sides, and then kind of make your distinction once you you hear everything laid out in front of you.
So, Tim, I really appreciated something you said. Somebody said today, when you said you were going to be on this show, somebody said, zero chance I listen to that guy's show, and certainly nothing against you, Tim. And, Tim, you responded with the following. You laughed, and you said, he has his detractors. I have to give him credit, though. He's kind of like Bill Maher. He brings on people that don't necessarily share his point of view for segments. Would you rather that or tune in to just shows that say what you want to hear? Tim, I'm beginning to wonder if a significant portion of the population just wants to tune into shows that tell them what they want to hear. I want honesty, yeah. Tim. I want honesty. I want somebody who's going to give me unfiltered, unbiased opinions.
Exactly, and that's what I think you're trying to do up there. Like I said, and that's why I said you even have the detractors in the upstate too as well, because you're not going to say everything that would that's going to please them either. But we need kind of both sides if we want to have valuable debate. I was listening to you earlier, and you were asking about Watson or Lawrence as far as Clemson's favorite quarterback, and I'll have to go against you. I'll have to say Watson.
Okay.
If you'd ask me.
Sure.
I don't like Lawrence's hair. I really don't like how he practices his Tai Chi on the shores of Lake Hartwell while co-eds are suing over a meter, but that's here nor there. But I think Watson had it a little harder than Lawrence has, as far as from a talent standpoint and as far as what he had to go through to get to his initial championship, being that, he was kind of almost, his career was almost sacrificed to secure a win over South Carolina early in his career when he was injured. Probably I wouldn't have had him out in the field, but they really figured they needed to turn the tables on Carolina at that time, and he was that piece to do that. But and I think his numbers kind of stand for himself, and how he was viewed as kind of this triple threat on the field, where he could pass, run, throw. He could kind of do it all. I think he has that going for him too. So I would, that would be my pick if you were to ask me that question.
I will ask you this, which we'll be getting to later in the show, Tim. What on a scale of 1 to 100? Okay. What is your confidence level that Will Muschamp is the right guy for this job long term today?
Well, I think that's all going to pan out in these next few years here, and I do think they're going to give him a few years to get this online. His recruiting has been amazing. I'm confident he's going to get the recruits in here that he needs to. Now it's all going to be in execution, and how he can bring out the potential of these recruits that he has. That's what it's all going to boil down to. As winning cures everything. So eventually, it's going to have to show up on the field. He's going to have to win. And at this point, I feel that he could be the man, for the future of this program, but it's going to have to play out in the field. He's going to have some successes, and, we wish him the best.
So, Tim, would that be a confidence level of 60?
That would be, maybe I'm leaving a little higher. I think, I'm at a 70 right now.
Okay.
I think he has the potential to fulfill what needs to be done around here. It's just putting it in action and getting he actually has to have the right staff behind him. I think he's building that. All these pieces have to be in place. Obviously, he built the foundation the right way here, coming here, and now he has to build on that.
He's a Gulf War veteran. He played for Lou Holtz and Steve Spurrier. He is a very cherished member of Gamecocks football history. And oh, by the way, he hung out with Pearl Jam, Duran Duran, John Travolta, and Ewing McGregor. Alongside Tim Frisby, I'm merely Mark Ryan. Tim, thanks again so much for your service to our country. Always enjoy having you on, bud. Let's do it again soon.
All right. We'll do. We'll do soon. Anytime, Mark.
Thank you. Tim Frisby, former South Carolina great. Love that guy. I love that guy. And see, he'll bust my balls on social media, but he does it in a fun way, and it's always in good-natured spirits. And I just, you know, like, I just want to communicate this to people out there. Insults are the lowest form of communication. It's the lowest form of communication. It's like the lowest, the least educated form of communication. It's just the bottom of the barrel. So, you know, learn how to communicate with people without throwing insults out there, because I don't have time for that. Tim Frisbee doesn't have time for that. And that's how we roll here on Offsides. I can handle a heated debate. We can debate things. But the second you go in the toilet with the insults, that's when you've lost me. All right, coming your way next. So what if there was some concrete data on how South Carolina would fare playing Clemson's schedule? I'll share that with you next, right here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Thanks to Gamecocks legend Tim Frisbee joining us on the show in the last segment. Man, you know, some of my favorite radio is Storytime Radio, man. Like, I think stories make the best radio, make the best listening experience. I note that whenever I'm in the car, whenever I'm driving around, whenever I'm listening on the radio.com app, I'm always transfixed. I can't leave when somebody's telling a story. And the story that Tim Frisbee shared about his experiences on the Letterman show and Jay Leno, man, to me, those are going to stay with me. Those are going to stay with me. Just chilling. And like, what's amazing is these guys he's hanging with, Lonzo, were acting like they knew him.
Yeah.
And they knew the story.
I mean, I try to put myself in that situation, and I wouldn't be able to speak. And I got to think that his military training probably come into play, too, as far as staying calm and everything. But, I mean, dude, Duran Duran, Pearl Jam, John Travolta, Ewan McGregor, when Star Wars was out, so right when he was really big, it just – See, you wouldn't have any trouble talking to those people. I'd be sitting over there in the corner looking at the wall or something.
Yeah. But, hey, listen, man, like you don't – here's the thing. There's something that hits you, Lonzo, and it's you don't – when you have somebody that you idolize, you almost don't want to talk to them because all they can do is lower their impression of you.
See,
right?
I disagree. I wouldn't want to because I would fanboy. And you want to think that you're too cool to fanboy.
No, you're
but
not.
No one's too cool to fanboy.
Well, who would you fanboy currently in sports, in the sports world today? You know who I would fanboy. Who would it be?
You?
Yeah. Who would I fanboy?
Tebow.
Tebow absolutely would be fanboyed by me.
Yeah.
I always say the fact that I have a centaur painted over my bedroom, that's not going too far, right? Painted in my bedroom wall, that's not going too far.
As long
who
as
would
he's
you fanboy?
LeBron. And I wouldn't fanboy over Pat Mahomes because he's younger than me. And I know LeBron's younger than me too, but LeBron is on a totally different level right now. 5 years from now, Pat Mahomes may be on that level. I don't know. We'll see. But LeBron probably.
Well,
sure.
Let me give you an example of why you don't want to talk to your sports idols, okay? Because growing up in Houston, Texas, Lonzo, the Houston Oilers were my team. Damn, that makes me feel old. The Houston Oilers. The Oilers were my team because the Titans have been around for a long time now.
Yes, millennials that are listening,
yeah.
The Houston Oilers used to be a team.
So Warren Moon was my guy. Came over from the CFL, right? And Warren Moon was my guy, was my idol. Had the posters, had the clippings, had everything. Loved this guy. I can name more players from that Oilers team, in the late 80s, early 90s than I ever should admit. Ernest Givens, Lorenzo White. Oh, you know, just Chris Duncan, Bruce Matthews, right down the list, right? But the thing is, I didn't want to meet that guy because, you don't want to meet idols because you're worried that they're going to do something that's going to change forever. And I suffered heartbreak there, Lonzo, because I had Warren Moon on my show in Atlanta, and he was a jerk to me. He didn't want to do the interview. He didn't want to be a part of it. He didn't answer my questions. He had already previously been accused of some form of domestic assault against his wife. And then, lo and behold, he's a jerk to me on the air, you know. And then most recently, I've seen that he reached a settlement with some woman for, what was it, assault or harassment, sexual harassment of some kind. And it's just like, man, it shatters you and it breaks your heart when your sports heroes aren't who you think they are. And so some people will say it should only be about what happens on the field. With your sports heroes, ladies and gentlemen, does the character of the person matter, or is it solely their performance on the field? Because, you know, Lonzo and I almost had it out on the air about Tyreek Hill. I think the character of the person matters. And I'll say this, Lonzo, the moment that Warren Moon, it really hurt me when I heard the domestic abuse allegations years ago. When he then came on my show and was a jerk to me, that was the end of my Warren Moon worship. I couldn't do it anymore. And then he just continues to, not be a good human being off of the air as well. And he's been a Seattle Seahawks voice for a number of years up there as well. To me, the off-field matters. To me, your character matters. To me, being at Clemson Fan Day and seeing how warm Dabo Swinney was to the fans, how warm Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne were to the fans, the culture there, that matters. That matters. It matters to me. Is all that matters to you the on the field, or does the character of the person that you idolize matter to you as well? 1-844-477-3776. I'll give you a chance to answer that, Lonzo.
The problem that you and I had was not about the player. It was about the team, because you're saying that I couldn't root for the team because they allowed him to come back on.
But we're looking at the overarching topic here.
Okay. All right. As far as that goes, yeah, I do think character matters. It does. And I see an example of people who just let character go out the window with Tom Brady. And, you know, how he's so worshipped by so many people when he's accused cheater. He got suspended for it for lying about the situation, and people are they overlook that. And I think sports heroes, anything they do off the field, sometimes on the field, is overlooked. And like Woody Hayes, people around here, they absolutely, whether you're a Clemson fan or a South Carolina fan, for some reason you hate Ohio State because of Woody Hayes. And I get it. He punched a player. He did. But do you know how many years that was ago? That was a long time ago. But in Ohio, there are statues of him everywhere.
That was one heat-of-the-moment thing, right, where he clearly acted in error, and I don't believe that you should
Jerry
judge.
Jerry Richardson, we were just over there. We were in his arena, and we know what he was accused of doing. And there are statues and pictures of Jerry all over Wofford.
Well, and consider how a guy like Joe Paterno was deified when he allowed a predator to exist in his midst and either couldn't comprehend, couldn't accept that somebody on his coaching staff would do such a thing, and or turned a blind eye.
I think it's situational. I do, and I think it's degrees of what they actually did. I mean, if they're just an absolute jerk, I think you can let that go if they're the starting quarterback and they've won Super Bowls. I think you can let that go. If they're not good to fans, I think you can let that go, because the fans will let that go as long as their team is winning.
Coming up next on the show, I was thinking about this. There's a very clear reason to me why Dabo Swinney is not liked in some circles. And I'll share that with you next. Right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, the most interactive sports show in South Carolina, ESPN Upstate.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. You know, I've asked the question, do your sports hero's character matter? When you idolize a hero, your sports hero, whoever it may be, Trevor Lawrence to some of you, who would be a South Carolina Gamecocks football hero? Marcus Lattimore. You know, those kind of guys. Now, the beautiful thing is Marcus Lattimore, his character would never disappoint you, right? I've heard in the past from both Florida and South Carolina fans that sometimes they've gotten Steve Spurrier in a prickly moment, and he's a little bit disappointed them, but he's such a fun guy, I think you just fall right back in love with him again. But, you know, for me, always, the moment that I find out that this person that I idolized is not of upstanding character, he's off the pedestal to me. The off the field matters to me. And I Tyler joins us right now to share a story about meeting Kevin Garnett, Maldon's own Kevin Garnett. Tyler, thanks for the call, bud. You're Offsides.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Yeah, and being from Chicago and going back and forth to South Carolina, KG was huge to me growing up. And me and my friend had an opportunity to volunteer for his camp at Furman. And he was upset at the Chick-fil-A sandwich that my friend brought back to him and literally threw it at him and demanded him to put mayonnaise on it. I've never been a fan since.
Oh, my God. That is so disappointing. So you're volunteering at his camp?
Yeah, it was a camp at Furman for kids. And we were just excited to be there. And that was literally the first time, because he came a little late. But it was the first time meeting him. He was ticked off that his sandwich didn't have mayonnaise on it and threw it at a friend of mine.
See, that's the kind of thing I'll write somebody off forever because good people don't do that, right? Like, I mean, no matter what kind of day you're having, good people don't do that. When was this in his career? Was this after his career, during his career?
This was early Minnesota days.
Early Minnesota days. Okay, well, you want to say maybe the guy grew up, maybe he matured? Lonzo, you're saying no. What do you know, Lonzo?
I don't know anything. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would. He just seems uptight and angry all the time, so I'm not surprised.
You know, that kind of fire led to him having a lot of success, man. But if you got volunteers that are just doing their darn job and they're bringing you food and you throw the food at them, what did your friend do about that? Did he go get a mayonnaise, or how did he solve that problem?
I mean, no, we were 12 and 13, so he actually ran off crying.
You that were 12 and 13? He threw a sandwich at somebody 12 and 13 years old?
We were teenagers, yes.
Volunteers, oh, my God. What an ass. Oh, my God.
Hey, I can't agree more.
Oh, my God. I can't even believe that, man. Dude, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Gosh. You know, and I the other day I was driving by his high school. I took a picture of it. I tweeted it. It got a bunch of likes. I've even thrown his name in the category for most beloved person from this area. Could he possibly be the most beloved sports figure from this area? I don't know how you hear that story. I'm glad that you shared that story. I would understand why you might be a little timid to share that story publicly because of how beloved the guy is. But that's a joke, man. That's not how you treat people.
I mean, a lot of people know he has a great family, but a lot of people I know who's close to him, if you ask him where he's from, he doesn't even claim South Carolina. He'll tell you he's from Chicago.
Wow. Wow. And he's really from here. He's from this area, right?
Yeah. Yep.
It's unbelievable.
From the Maldon area.
Unbelievable. Hey, man, thanks for the call. Thanks for sharing your story, Tyler. I'm so sorry that happened to you. God. Just as infuriating to me.
Yeah, but this is one of those stories, when you hear it, I don't know about you, but I'm not surprised.
Throwing a sandwich at somebody?
Yeah, I am not surprised. I remember there were incidents with Randy
because
Moss.
Because it didn't have Mayo
and
on
there,
it?
There are certain guys that just kind of have that air about them that you're not surprised. I'm just not surprised.
Well, I am surprised because you're at a camp. That's where you're supposed to be at your best behavior. These are kids attending your camp. Shame on you, Kevin Garnett. Shame on you. Okay, well, Mark, you said Deshaun Watson or Trevor Lawrence, who will go down in Clemson lore as the number one quarterback? Clearly Deshaun Watson at the moment, a texter says. He's in the NFL and Trevor Lawrence isn't. He's a great quarterback, don't get me wrong, but don't give the guy credit for things he hasn't done. Well, part of this question, sir, is asking you to look through, look through the crystal ball here and project what's going to happen when all is said and done. Who will be viewed, revered as the number one quarterback in Clemson history? Another texter says, the old saying sums it up, all your heroes should be dead, otherwise they'll disappoint you. Is that true? Is that true? So
sounds like a country song.
So anyway, I have this theory as to why so many people dislike Dabo Swinney. Folks can't seem to handle a likable guy being the coach of the team you hate. They just can't seem to get their heads wrapped around that. And like, I don't have any skin in this game whatsoever, but I appreciate what Dabo has done and is doing. And some people are just set in their us versus them mentality. They're unable to see the good in anybody. I see people almost daily complain about Dabo doing good things. He's like the Tim Tebow of college football coaches. And people hated Tim Tebow. Except unlike Tebow, who made people feel bad about themselves because they don't measure up to him. He doesn't have an eligibility limit, Dabo doesn't, and would be able to stay at Clemson forever. Now, I've seen people claim that he's disingenuous, but in my 7 months of being here, I haven't seen evidence of that being the case. I've seen people claim it's an act, but from what I've seen, correct me if I'm wrong, is he not the same goofball on camera and off camera? In pressers or at practices, he's like the friend we've all had that he can talk too much and he can turn a great statement into like a questionable rant. He's capable of that. We've seen that. I think Osama bin Dabo was a bad look, right? But beyond that, the guy has done nothing to show that he's anything less than as genuine as he comes across. And I think that's why Gamecock fans and Clemson fans hate him so much, because the reality is it's so damn hard not to like him, right? It is so damn hard not to like that guy. His kindness makes you feel worse about yourself. You want to hate him, and the fact that he's killing you with kindness makes you hate him even more. Is there something to what I'm saying? 1-844-477-3776 is the number. How about for today's list, the best SEC programs of all time, as stated by a frequent guest of this show? I'll share with you that list, and I'll do it next, right here on the most interactive sports show in South Carolina. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan on ESPN Upstate. Yes, Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. So Peter Burns is a buddy of mine, he used to host a sports show in Denver. Now he's a host for the SEC Network. He's been on this show a few times. He was on with Will Pelagic, sitting in for Straight Up with Sturge yesterday on the show. Just one of the best dudes in the business, bar none. And so Monday, Sports Illustrated put out a list of the top 10 programs of all time in college football, the top 10 programs in college football history. And I am deeply offended here because my program is not anywhere listed, and I can't understand that at all. Sports Illustrated's list of the top 10 programs in college football history are as follows: Alabama, Ohio State, what a bunch of crap, Michigan, Texas, USC, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Penn State, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. You know, Tennessee must have done some great things back in the day, but they haven't done anything in like the last 20 years, for crying out loud, man. Come on, come off of it. All right. I know they won the title with T. Martin. When was that? The 97 season? 22 years ago. But Jiminy Christmas, you got to do something positive here of late, right? So anyway, I thought this was interesting. Peter Burns decided I'm going to rank the SEC schools all time 1 through 14. And here we go. All-time SEC programs. Let's count down from 14 to 1. 14, Vanderbilt. 13, Missouri. Will Pelagic is not going to like that one. Missouri alum. 12, Mississippi State. 11, Kentucky. 10, Ole Miss. 9, South Carolina. South Carolina program history is ranked 9th out of 14 teams in the SEC. It's been pretty mediocre. I would say that's fair. 8, Arkansas. 7, Texas A&M. 6, 7 A&M. Not higher than that, huh? 6 is Auburn. And then here's your top 5 in the SEC all-time program rankings per Peter Burns. 5, LSU. 4, Florida. Burns my Brownies. And I'm so close to remembering that winning name, Lonzo, and I can't remember it. We had Browns my Boxers, and what was the one that won? What we did that listener challenge for the new sayings. What was the one that won? 3, Georgia, 2, Tennessee, and 1, Alabama. I think Tennessee is gravy training way too much off of their history here. You know, the all-time also includes the present. Also includes, how about the past 20 years? I've seen nothing of note from Tennessee in the past 20 years. So I don't know about all that. All right, the top 3 at 3 presented by Moe's Southwest Grill is coming your way next. Make sure you stick and stay for that. Plus, Will Muschamp's confidence rating from you, the fans. All still to come in the final hour of the show today, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.